Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Vayera. This week, Neiman Novetzky discusses Vayera. Neiman Novetzky is a faculty member at Pardes. Her focus is Tanakh. And now, Neiman Novetzky.
Thanks, Larry. This Shabbat, in Parshat Vayera, we read one of the most famous stories in all of Tanakh, the story of Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac. It's a story that raises many, many questions. From the nature of the test that God tests Abraham, what does it mean for God to test someone? Does not God know the results of the test beforehand? To the nature of what God is requesting from Abraham, how could God request from him to go and sacrifice his son? Isn't it the antithesis of all that we believe in? To the role that Abraham plays, to his feelings and wondering about, what was he thinking? How did he feel as he was going? But it's neither Abraham nor God that I wanted to focus on today, but rather the third player in our drama. The role, of course, of Yitzchak. What role did he play in our story? Was he a willing participant? Or perhaps an unwilling victim? As we explore this question, I wanted to look at three sub-questions. First, how old was Yitzchak at our story? For of course his age will affect the way that we view him. Was he an adult, capable of making his own decisions, able to resist Abraham if he disagreed? Or was he a little kid who had no choice but to follow his father? Second, what did Yitzchak know? Did he have any clue that as he was going walking with his father to this sacrifice, that it was he who was to be the sacrifice? Or did he only find out at the very last minute? And finally, how did he feel? If he did know, did he go willingly? Was he happy to give of himself to God? Or was he filled with fear? Or perhaps, was he rebelling and fighting the entire way? The psukim, the verses, of course, don't give us any clear answer to any of these questions. Nonetheless, the midrashim, the commentators, throughout the ages, have tried to find clues here and there in the verses in order to answer these questions. Let's start with our first question. How old was Yitzchak at the time of our story? The story that we're told is placed between two other stories, that of Abraham with the Plishtim, with the Philistines, soon after his birth, and on the other hand, the story of Sarah's death. This gives us a wide window of about 35 years. The text tells us that he was a na'ar, a youth, but unfortunately for us, that's not so helpful, for in Tanakh, the word na'ar has been used to describe everyone from Moshe, the baby, as he was put into that little ark that his mom made for him, to Yehoshua, commander-in-chief of the Israelite forces. So how old was he? Seder Olam Rabbah, a second-century chronography of Tanakh, traditionally ascribed to the Tana Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, retells biblical history in compressed form, giving dates to many of the major events. Here, too, it suggests to us how old Yitzchak was. Avinu Yitzchak haya kishne akad al hamizbeach, Ben Lamed Zayin Shana. Our father Isaac, when he was bound on the altar, was 37 years old. Where do they get 37 from? It seems they get it from the juxtaposition of our story with that of the story of Sarah's death. We know that Sarah died at the age of 127. The assumption is that our story took place right before that. If so, since Sarah was 90 years old when Yitzchak was born, that makes Yitzchak 37 at our story. If so, of course, Yitzchak is an adult totally capable of making his own decisions. He's probably stronger than his father. To be tied up, one would probably have needed his consent. Now, of course, this read is taking an assumption that no time elapsed between our two stories, something which is not at all clear from the text. It's very possible that Sarah could have died several years after the Akedah. And if you note that in the story, Avraham goes back to Be'er Sheva right after our story, yet Sarah dies in Hebron. If we're assuming that the two were still living together, then presumably some time did elapse between our two stories, and that Yitzchak was younger than 37. Interestingly, there's a different edition of Seder Olam Rabbah that's based on one manuscript, which reads not that Yitzchak was 37, but rather 26. This seems to be based on a connection of the story not to the story that comes after ours, but to that that precedes it. There it tells us that Avraham lived in the land of the Plishtim for Yamim Rabim, many years. This is taken by the Midrash to mean for more years than he had lived elsewhere, meaning in Hebron. Since we know that Avraham lived in Hebron for 25 years, he must have lived in Eretz Plishtim for at least 26. And since we know that Yitzchak was born in the first year that Avraham was living in the Plishtim area, that would make Yitzchak 26 at the time of our story. Either way, Yitzchak is an adult. And thus, if Yitzchak is going, perhaps he's agreeing. Not all, of course, read the story that way. Ibn Ezra says, you can't juxtapose the stories and know for sure that our story happened either immediately after the prior one or immediately before the one that comes after it. And so we have a much bigger window of possibilities. Let's read what he says inside. The Chazal amru shehaya Yitzchak kasher nekad ben 37 shanim. He says, Chazal say he was 37. Vim divrei kabbalah nekabbalah. And if that happens to be a tradition, I'll accept it. Nonetheless, miderach svara, from a logical perspective, ein ze nachon, this doesn't make sense. Shehaya ro'oi shetia tzidkat Yitzchak guya. Because if he was really an adult, then his righteousness should have been revealed to us in the text. V'yeschara kaful mischar aviv. He should have gotten a double reward, more than his father. Shemasar atzmo birtzono l'shchita, because he had given himself over willingly to be slaughtered. V'ein bakatuv mu'ma Yitzchak. And in the verses, we don't hear anything about Yitzchak receiving a reward. So Ibn Ezra says, had he been an adult, then one has to say that the test was a test not just for Avraham, but for Yitzchak. And if so, Yitzchak passed it with flying colors, and he deserves even a bigger reward than Avraham. And yet, he's not the one that's centered in the text as being rewarded or being tested. And so, he must have been younger. So he continues, Avachirim amru shaya ben chameshanim. Ibn Ezra says, other people thus come to the conclusion that he was a little kid, just 5. Gam ze lo yitachin, but he says, that also doesn't make sense. Bavur shenasat zehola, because we see that in the story, he's carrying the wood for the korban, for the sacrifice. And a little 5-year-old wouldn't be able to go and play the role of that strong man that has to go carry all the wood. Not possible, he says. So what does he suggest instead? Vahakarov el hadat. And it seems, Shaya Karov Yud Gimel Shanim, he must have been around 13 years old. V'hichrichau aviv v'akado shelo birtono. And his father forced him and bound him against his will. So Ibn Ezra rejects the suggestion that he was an adult, raises the possibility that he was a little kid, but rejects that too on textual grounds, that he couldn't possibly have carried the wood that's described in the verses, and so comes to some type of a compromise position, that he was a young adult, just about 13, old enough to carry the wood, but not really old enough to resist his father. And he concludes that he went unwillingly, that he was forced, that he did not want to do this. So let's now move on to our second question. What did Yitzchak know? As he went with his father and he walked, did he know that they were going in order to sacrifice himself and not just to take a mere animal to sacrifice? Here, Ibn Ezra suggests that Avram actually deceived him, that Yitzchak knew nothing. He says, V'ha'ed sh'aviv hastir hasod mimenu, his father hid the secret from him. V'amar Elohim yir Elo hasa, when Isaac asks his father, where's the sheep that we're going to be bringing as an offering? His father says, Hashem will show it to us. He's deceiving his son. He doesn't tell him that his son is going to be the sacrifice. He adds in also that when Abraham tells his son that they're going, he tells the people that were accompanying them that they're going, he says, Nechad v'nashuva, we will go and we will return. In telling the people that Abraham had walked with that after he and Isaac go to sacrifice to God, they'll both be coming back. We in plural will be coming back. He leads his son to believe that, yes, they will both be coming back. They're sacrificing something else, not him. And if so, Yitzchak goes the whole way, not knowing anything, not suspecting perhaps, until the very last minute. Others disagree. They suggest that Yitzchak perhaps at some point along the way figured out, or perhaps the most extreme position on this side is that he not only figured out on the way, but he actually was the one to some extent initiated the entire thing. Let's read this interesting Gemara from Masechet Sanhedrin. Vayhi achar hadvarim ha'ila. Our story opens by saying, after these things, or more literally, after these words, Ve'elohim nisat Avraham. Avraham was tested by God. The Gemara asked, what things are we talking about? What words are we talking about that started this entire episode? Rabbi Levi Amar, achar dvarav shel Yishmael v'Yitzchak. Rabbi Levi says, after the words of Yishmael and Isaac. Amar lo Yishmael Yitzchak, ani gadol mimcha mitzvot. Yishmael tells Isaac, I'm better than you. I've done more mitzvot than you. Shata malta ben shmonatimim. You got a brit milah, a circumcision at the age of 8 days. Vani ben shalosh shveshana. I was 13. I did a lot more than you did. Amar lo, ube'ever achara tamek Rabbi? He says to him, what, you're going to hold it over me for one little limb? If God had said to me, sacrifice yourself, I'd be willing to sacrifice my entire being. Miad, Elohim nisat Avraham. Immediately God tested Avraham. According to this interesting Agadah, Yishmael and Yitzchak had some type of an argument before our story. Yishmael lording it over Isaac that he was 13 years old at the time of his circumcision. And Isaac telling him, why are you lording that over me? Had God asked me to sacrifice my entire being, I'd be willing. So of course, according to this midrash, Isaac perhaps is not just in the know, but is the cause of the entire event to begin with. He's not just willing, but actually desiring and pushing for such a test. Others take a much more middle approach and say, yes, it's en route that he found out. Okay, there's lots of words in the story, or the way that the story is told, that suggests that perhaps he was a little suspicious. That question that we had alluded to before about his asking his father, well, but where's the sheep, suggests that he thought that not everything was exactly right here. And this leads Radak to suggest that perhaps he really was suspecting it. Abraham didn't outright lie to him, but sort of left it ambiguous. Let's read Radak, Rav David Kimchi, inside. Radak says that when asked the question, but where is the sheep? Abraham, analo ma'aneshu chaladam havino l'shnei panim. Abraham was purposely ambiguous in his answer. He said something that you could be understood in two different ways. Ha'achad, shebni tshuvat ha'kriyat, that when he says, when I read the words inside, that the Hinei ha'esh v'ha'itzim v'ayah ha'seh lo'ola, Yitzchak asks, here's the fire and here's the wood, but where is the seh? V'yoma Avraham, Elohim yir'elo ha'seh lo'ola b'ni. God will show you the seh, the sheep, for the offering, my son. He says the word my son could be read as, he's referring to his son as answer, just like the kid said, father, could you please tell me X, Y, and Z? The father answers, son, and then gives him the answer. But there's another way of reading this. Hasheni, ha'elohim yir'elo ha'seh la'ola. God will show you the sheep. Umihu ha'seh bini. And who is that sheep? My son. My son is not just a referent to the person who he's talking to, but rather is the explanation of the word seh. God will show you the seh. And who is that seh? My son. And he suggests, V'yitzchak kivin kiyu yaseh. When Yitzchak heard this ambiguous reply, he actually understood the second possibility, that it was he who was to be the sheep. L'fi chachamar, and he says, and therefore the pasuk goes out of the way to tell us, V'yachush nehem yachdav, the two continued to walk together, together of one heart. Ki kibel hakol ba'ahava limsor nafsho, because he accepted it with love that he was going to go and devote his life to God. There's one more possibility that's brought in the Midrash, and that's that Yitzchak didn't find out from Avraham, nor did he initiate the whole thing, but rather, he found out from Satan himself. Let's read the Midrash inside. Vayomer Yitzchak el Avraham avi, vayomer avi. Based itself on the verse where Yitzchak talks to his father, we're told, Balo Samael etel avinu Avraham. Samael, another name for the Satan, for Satan, comes to Abraham and he says, Saba, Saba, Ovadet Chalibacha. He says to him, have you lost your mind? Ben shenitamacha lekuf shana ata holich l'shachato? He says, you're going to go and sacrifice a son that was given to you when you were 100? Amarle amanat kein. He says, even so. The Midrash continues to show all the ways that the Satan tries to dissuade Abraham from going. And nonetheless, Abraham keeps on going and says, no, I'm going to do this even so. V'kevan shelo ho'il mimenu, and when he sees he can't convince Abraham, balo etel Yitzchak, Satan comes to Yitzchak. Amalo, brada luvta halecho l'shochatcha. He says, you son of an unfortunate woman, your father's going to shecht you, he's going to slaughter you. Amarle, amanat kein. He says, even so. Amarle, im kein kol otan hapargaziyot she'astai me'achli Yishmael, sne'ei devetei yiruta. So the Satan continues and he says, but if he does do that, you do know after all that all those tunics that your mom made for you are going to go to Yishmael, the hated one in your house. They're going to be his Yerusha. They're going to be his inheritance. And Yitzchak says, nonetheless, I'll go. But the Midrash continues, Vayomer Yitzchak el Avraham, Avi, Avi, Father, Father, Lama Avi Avi Bet Pamim. Why does he say Avi twice? Kedei Sheit Malei Alav Rachamim, so that he should fill himself with mercy. So in this Midrash, it's of course very possible that the Satan is not the Satan, but of course represents instead Yitzchak's own doubts. Yitzchak's not sure what's going on. His fears come out. Maybe his father doesn't really love him. Maybe Yishmael is the loved one. We have a portrait of him, not such a confident Yitzchak. He turns to his Abba for rachamim, for mercy. Abba, Abba. But at the end of the Midrash, ve'alchu shnehem yachdav. Nonetheless, the two go together, zel la'akod v'zel li'akeid, one to bound and one to be bound. So perhaps Yitzchak knew nothing. Perhaps Yitzchak knew everything. More likely, Yitzchak had doubts, had suspicions. But how did he feel? Interestingly, in most of the Mefarshim, most of the Midrashim that we've looked at, he did go willingly, with the exception of the Ibn Ezra, who says that his father deceived him, that Yitzchak knew nothing, that had he been older, he would have resisted. Almost all of the other sources that we've looked at suggest that he went with full acceptance and a full heart, perhaps fearing slightly, nervous, but not resisting. We see this brought to the fore, I think, in a Midrash from Bereishit Rabbah, which tells us that at the time that Avraham was binding Isaac, Isaac says to him, Abba, bachorani. He says, Father, I'm a young lad. V'choshishani shemi yizdazea gufi mipachdash lasakin. And I'm scared that as you put the knife on top of me, I'm going to tremble. Ve'etzarcha, v'shema tipasel hashchita. And I might cause the entire slaughtering not to be kosher. V'lo talelecha l'korban. And it won't count as a korban. Ela kaftini afeyefe. So he tells his father, please bind me well so I can't move. Fascinating that according to this Midrash, Yitzchak is such a sharer in participating and willing that he comes and he asks his Abba, please tie me up so that I don't ruin the sacrifice. We don't only have not a struggle, but a request to be bound. He's willingly going to the altar. And some we even have him actually helping his father to build it. So I think it's a fascinating question worth asking. Why do so many portray this type of Yitzchak? What's motivating Chazal, some of the later commentators, to suggest that Yitzchak's going willingly? So I think there are several answers that one could give. One is the silence of Yitzchak in the text. There's actually no sign of struggle. even though he's apparently old enough by all accounts to converse, to carry branches, to at least say to his Abba, please no. A second possibility is the need, or perhaps the desire, by many commentators to give Yitzchak some merit. Out of all three Avot, all three of our forefathers, Yitzchak is the one who we find the least stories about, the least stories that show why he was chosen. Avram, we have story after story that people can point and say, ah, that's why he was a leader. Yaakov, we also have tons of stories about. Yitzchak, on the other hand, tends to be a very passive character in Tanakh. There isn't so much to point to and say, ah, that's why he stands out. That's what I want to emulate. By making Yitzchak a more willing participant in this story, it gives Yitzchak some merit, some reason that he was chosen. Another possibility is that what we have here is an anti-Christian polemic. The Christians, as many know, take this story as being one that was a precursor or a prototype, perhaps, of Jesus. Jesus being the sacrifice. Some of the Jewish commentators perhaps wanted to show that we too have a willing sacrifice. Jesus wasn't the first one who was happy to give of himself to God, but we too have a Yitzchak who could stand up and say, I'm willing, I'm ready. This, of course, could have been worked the exact opposite, that people might have said, I don't want any way to see Yitzchak as being similar to Jesus and to have moved them away from that, but it is one possibility. There's one last way of reading this, and that has to do with the Hasidei Ashkenaz. Hasidei Ashkenaz are living in a time where many of them are forced to martyr themselves, al kiddush Hashem. And often they killed not just themselves, but their entire families. And so they look to Yitzchak as a model of a martyr, someone that they can point to as having almost died, al kiddush Hashem, or interestingly, according to one midrash, even actually having died. And so I'll just read that midrash inside, since it's a fascinating one. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kivan shegiah acharev al tzavaro, when the sword got to his neck, his soul actually left his body. But when God called out and said, don't put your hand onto the youth, his soul came back to his body. And they said, blessed is he who makes the dead live again. Chassidei Ashkenaz point to this midrash, perhaps, or to this read, and say, and find in it some type of a justification for the martyrdom of their own families. Abraham and Yitzchak were an example to follow. It's interesting, in Shulamit Elitzur's study of Piyut, study of certain liturgical poems about the Akedah, she compares the poems that we find in Spanish versus Ashkenazic countries. In both, we often see Yitzchak going, but in the Spanish ones, he's almost always crying. Interestingly, in the Ashkenazic ones, he's happy to do God's will. And so I hope with that survey of lots of different approaches, we see many different possibilities of how to read Isaac in our story, whether he was willing, unwilling, ambiguous, not sure, and also some of the motivations that might have led one to read the story in one way or another. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Neema. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.